grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, from the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
And welcome back, my friends, to episode number 174 of this ongoing podcast that is for the love of movies. Yes, you are listening to Phil at the Movies. I am your host, Phil Walsh. And today I am talking with you about the Fantastic Four First Steps, the new film from Marvel. This is the Fantastic Four film I have been waiting for. Frankly, this is the comic book film I have been waiting for this year. This movie is, I will drop the F-bomb right at the start of the show, it is fantastic. Now, before I begin with my spoiler-free review of the Fantastic Four, let me take this opportunity to say thank you, as always, for tuning in to each episode every Friday. Appreciate your support of this podcast and this cinematic journey we have been going on since 2022, believe it or not. If you could rate and review this podcast on Apple, it helps a great deal with the pesky algorithm, as well as sharing it with your family, your friends, anybody who you think might enjoy listening to a fellow movie buff go on, perhaps too long at certain points, over his love of movies. My cinematic philosophy, if you will. In any event, though, I do appreciate your continued support and friendship. It means the world to me, and none of this would be possible without you, the listeners, you, the friends of this show. You are fantastic. All right, dare I say it? All right, I will say it. The fourth time is the charm. Finally, they got the Fantastic Four right. Setting this film in a futuristic 1960s, we travel through a space odyssey that brings to mind 2001 and, more recently, Interstellar. The focus here is on family as opposed to heroes reconciling their superhuman abilities. The film dispenses with the origin story. It establishes the Fantastic Four from the get-go, which I think is another bold and smart decision. I think of the Batman from a few years ago. I think of even Superman from a few weeks back. These characters exist in the public consciousness. There's no reason to retell the origin story again, particularly when we've had three previous films. Everyone knows Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, the Thing, and the Human Torch. And just to set up the context, in case you are unfamiliar with the backstory, four astronauts go into space. As a result, they are subjected to a cosmic event that gives them superhuman abilities and powers, and they return to Earth and become the protectors of the planet, thus the Fantastic Four. This is, I think, a story for our time. It's bold, brash, propulsive. The idea to make it a period piece just works, and that, I think, was probably the most excited I was about this film from the beginning, the fact that this wasn't going to be in the usual continuity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was going to exist in its own little pocket universe, if you will, and be its own thing. I think that allowed the movie to breathe and develop without having to adhere to the overall continuity and story developments of the other films in the franchise. This movie exists as its own entry, and I'm hopeful that we will get to see more in this world, because it's just such a cool retro trip, and all the characters work in this particular setting. in a lot of ways, it's very familiar to us. It's meant to be New York City circa 1960, but it is futuristic. And it's unlike our own world. It's futuristic, it's weird, it's colorful, it is fantastic. And again, that gives the film an identity and a look that, frankly, is unlike really any other comic book movie I can think of necessarily in terms of comparison to this. The only one that really comes to mind is The Batman, which, while it was set in our present day, that film had a very certain look and feel to it that set it apart from the other comic book movies in its class. And this kind of felt on that same wavelength in a way. And I think part of it also that the same composer, Michael Giacchino, who did The Batman, he also does the score for this film. And I think that also kind of gives it that extra little oomph, if you will, and allows it to be something more than just the usual fanfare of comic book movies. Now, the plot involves our four heroes, Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, played by Pedro Pascal, along with his pregnant wife, Sue, a.k.a. the Invisible Woman, played marvelously by Vanessa Kirby, their best friend, Ben Grimm, a.k.a. The Thing. Even Boss Baroque plays The Thing, and he is a real delight in this film. He's one of the real standouts. I have to say him and Vanessa Kirby, I must say. And then pulling up the group is Sue's brother, Johnny, played by Joseph Quinn. He, of course, is the Human Torch. And they are doing battle in this film against the world-devouring god Galactus, who sets his sights on planet Earth. And the Fantastic Four must work together to save the world from this force, especially given Galactus has set his sights on Reed and Sue's son, Franklin. The Fantastic Four First Steps is utterly fantastic. It is the Fantastic Four movie I have been waiting for, and I think diehard fans will feel the same way. This is a decorative exploration that, to me, is the best comic book movie of the summer, and I am not trying to shade any of the other movies, so please don't come at me with your virtual pitchforks. This film just felt like it was ripped from the pages of a Jack Kirby comic book from the 1960s. It's loud, it's in your face, but there is a lot of heart and emotion to it. And the fact is, it centers on the family unit. This is less about superpowers as it is about the power of family. And I found that to be quite a compelling thread. And it is there throughout the film. It's never sort of shoved in your face. It's really a recurring theme, and it plays itself out perfectly at the very end of the movie. In addition to our core four, Julia Garner plays the Silver Surfer, and she is a wonderful addition to this film. She is villainous, but there's also a level of humanity to her character. Really was impressed with what she brought to the role. And then, of course, the heavy of this film is Galactus, played by Ralph Ineson, and he is indomitable in this movie. A true, scary, and memorable villain, one that you frankly do cower in fear of, because he is obviously quite large. I mean, it's just this giant space alien that arrives from some other galaxy, hell-bent on destroying planet Earth. But his performance is relatively reserved, but when he speaks, it is quite impressive. And again, I think sometimes the best villains can just exist as a presence, as opposed to ranting and raving for scene after scene. He is in the film just enough, but his presence is felt throughout the movie. He feels like a recurring threat. Now, again, as I said, this is the sort of a continuation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it is meant to, in some ways, stand on its own. You don't have to have seen the other films to know what's going on. Yes, there is some connection to what is going to be going on in the next Marvel movies, but that is because there is a post-credit scene that directly ties into those two upcoming films. But putting that all aside, if you just watch this film for what it is, it really is a tour de force. I loved it. I had the biggest smile on my face the entire time. I laughed. I cheered. This was the comic book film I have been waiting for all summer, and I am proud to say that it delivered. This one is right near the top of favorite Marvel movies. I would even go in as far to say it's probably the best, one of the best Marvel movies, and that is not hyperbole. There's just something magical about this film. I felt good after watching it. It just left me with a feeling of excitement. It took me back to kind of being a kid again. You know, when you go to the movies and you just sort of get lost in the world, the excitement and the color and the action. I just was taken in by the whole journey of this movie. And I will drop the F-bomb again. It is fantastic. Capital F-A-N-T-A-S-T-I-C. Fantastic. Underline. Boldface. Yes. This movie delivers on all cylinders for me. Now, I am recording this at 1:30 here on the East Coast. I saw the film at a late screening last night, and I am still thinking about it at this point. So again, I think it's fair to say that I'm on a Fantastic Four high at this moment, but I couldn't be happier because of it. And I'm really excited to see where these characters go, obviously in the next two Avenger films, but hopefully we get to see them again in their own film, because they really do stand on their own in a way that other entries in the Marvel Cinematic Universe just have not quite landed as much. And again, that's not to diss the other films, but there's just something special about this film. There's something, dare I say, fantastic about it. But the movie is The Fantastic Four First Steps, and yeah, they do more than make a few first steps as far as I am concerned. They make great leaps and bounds in this movie, and we are better for it. But that is my early thoughts on The Fantastic Four. I'm sure I will revisit this film at a later date and perhaps elaborate more in greater detail after people have had a chance to see the film this weekend. But given the hour, I will sign off right now before Galactus devours my world. See, what did I tell you? The movie is still on my mind. But on that note, everybody, thank you again for tuning in for today's episode. I'll be back next week where we will do this all over again for the love of movies. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies makes every movie.